and welcome to Futures Focus, a fantasy baseball podcast centering around all the top prospects in the game, brought to you by Prospects 1500. My name is Alex Sanchez, and joining me, Dodger fan, and I'm sure a gambling addict just like Shohei Ohtani, is Nate Eckert.
Oh, good one. I appreciate that intro. I try and stay away
day.
From I bet you did. I bet you did. I've tried to stay away from gambling most of my life, but you know, sports gambling is fun. But other than that, I don't really gamble all that much.
Oh, that's good. We'll see if other people are like that or not. It's kind of a crazy, you know, exponentially getting more crazy every day type of story. I'm wondering where it's going to end.
Hopefully with it all just going away, because I'm sick of hearing about it, and I just want Ohtani to be a Dodger and to be the evolutionary stud that he is.
I agree with that for sure. I have more questions about, like, what, I mean, if it is what they're saying and there's like $4.5 million in gambling debts, that means that you lost $4.5 million betting. That seems really hard to do in sports betting.
Exorbitant. Yeah.
Like, you would have to, you know, it would be just as crazy to win 4.5 because you'd have to get them all right. But to get them all wrong is like just, it's the same thing. Like, there's no way you could always get them wrong unless you're doing like these crazy parlays. I don't know. It's really strange how much money is involved and that Ohtani's, I don't know. It's a crazy story. Came out of nowhere too.
Yeah.
But that's not what today's episode is about. Today's episode is going to be about some bold predictions. One of our favorite episodes, I know for me, and I'm assuming for you too, where we go and make these bold predictions and see which ones we get right in about a year or so. It's about that time. We did have two games being played in, but those they count, I guess, but we're still waiting on the finality of spring training. But yeah, so bold prediction day. Nate, are you ready for some of these predictions?
I am, my friend. I am so ready.
All right, fantastic. Let's just do a quick update on some of the bigger news stories that is not related to the Dodgers and Shohei Ohtani. A couple of guys got reassigned. It's that time of year. I'm just going to name some guys. You tell me if you're surprised with any of these, but we had Ben Joyce is down to Double A. James Wood is to minor league camp. We have Brooks Lee is sent down. We had Heston Kjerstad sent down. Jackson Holliday, Kobe Mayo sent down. Anybody surprise you there? Or is that kind of expected?
Who's the first or the second name that you said?
Ben Joyce, James Wood, Brooks Lee.
Yeah. James Wood, I thought for sure should have made the team outright. Ben Joyce, I mean, why wouldn't you just throw him on the roster? The rest of them, I guess I can understand. What about Spencer Jones? Did he already get resent, or did he already get sent back down? Or
yeah, he got sent down as well. But he's still like having a fantastic spring. And, you know, he had that pair of homers day. You know, actually, I didn't have a Spencer Jones bold prediction. I should have, but you might, well, I guess, because we haven't.
I messaged you.
Nice. We haven't actually discussed our predictions with each other. So, but yeah, Spencer Jones. But here are some guys that did make the team so far that we know of for sure. And that's going to be one, Wyatt Langford. That one doesn't come as a huge surprise with the spring that he had. 1.242 OPS is pretty good. Last time I checked. And the other name that I was glad to see, seems like the Orioles make the right decisions based on the evidence at hand. And that's Colton Cowser likely to make the roster with Kerstad and Jackson Holliday and Kobe Mayo getting sent down. So that's sort of just confirmation of Cowser. Now, I don't know if Cowser is going to play every day, but he's on the team, you know, and you can't provide major league value if you're not on the team. So maybe he forces his way into the lineup. The Orioles are stacked, though. There's no way, no other way to say that. So very excited for him. We saw Jackson Merrill get a couple of hits the other day to get his big league career on path. He was 0 for the first game, but then had two hits in that crazy, 15-11 Padres win. And Graham Pauly didn't get a hit. He did get an at-bat, but he didn't get a hit yet, so we're still waiting on him. Curtis Meade also looking to kind of be in line for a lot of at-bats early on in the season. We had Johnny DeLuca, Josh Lowe, and they optioned Caminero down. So Meade's sort of the last one standing there. And I've liked Curtis Meade for a long time. I have high hopes for him this year. Anything else? I think anything you want to chime in about there, Nate? I kind of went all over the board, but anything that catches your eye you want to talk about?
Yeah, just a couple of things. The Josh Lowe injury, hurt my soul. I was really looking forward to deploying him out there. First things first, in the Zao in our dynasty league, because I love Josh Lowe and he, I think, has a hell of a future in front of him. And to get hurt, you know, a week before opening day or however long it actually is, just really blows. That type of stuff always really sucks. But also, on more chipper news, Colt Keith, didn't he break with the Tigers? Has that been announced yet? Or
has that been announced yet? I know is another name that I would 100% expect since they gave him the contract. Right. I don't see anything official about it. Will be used at second base. So yeah, I mean it's all but said and done. Essentially, he hasn't been set down or anything.
Who has a better year this year, in your opinion, Meade or Keith?
I think that Colt Keith is going to get way more playing time than Curtis Meade, if especially if Meade were to struggle at any point. So if I was a betting man, I'd take Colt Keith. But I do like Curtis Meade in terms of talent and long-term outlook more so, if that makes sense.
Yep, totally.
Two other things, actually, we'll go with here. Edwin Arroyo came up lame with that shoulder and will have missed the entire season. That's a bummer. So that's Edwin Arroyo, and Noelvi Marte.
Yeah.
Kind of scratched from existence for at least a little while. But in other news, a guy that I've always liked, Brian Rocchio, wins the starting shortstop position for the Guardians. So that's exciting. I'm, you know, not as bullish as I have been on him in the past, but still really like him. And I think that, you know, the thing to look at last year, 60 walks to 66 Ks. So you're not getting a power guy. You're not getting, you know, a huge stolen base guy, but you're getting a, you know, Stephen Kwan of the infield-ish type of guy for the Guardians. And that's valuable at shortstop. So keep an eye out for him.
Yep.
And I think that's it. I want to just get into these bold predictions. I kind of went all over the map with mine. And, you know, this is the time of year where we can make some bold predictions. Now, Nate, I didn't ask you about this, but should we go over the awards and the divisions, or should we save that for another day?
Yeah, let's wait. Let's wait on that one because yeah, I wasn't sure either, so I didn't pick any. So
yeah, we have one more. One more episode that'll be basically the day after the season starts. So we'll save that one for the next episode. So these are all just bold predictions, prospect style. At least all of mine are prospects.
Mm-hmm,
and we'll just kick it off. All right. So we'll see how many we can get through within, you know, about a 40, 50 minute episode here. Nate, I'll give you the honors, though. I'm interested to hear what you've come up with. So give me one of yours off the bat.
All right. All right, buddy. Okay. Just a very short disclaimer. These are going to start low caps bold, and then we're going to get into like all caps bold, and then we're going to get into italic bold, you know, all that craziness.
Okay.
So I'm just getting this, you know, we're on the first tee here. So this year's AL Rookie of the Year will be a Texas Ranger.
Okay. That's, yeah, that is very lower.
Pretty safe. Pretty safe.
Yeah,
okay. I got, all right. Before you go on to the next one, let me just tell you who the NL Rookie of the Year will be.
Oh, okay. I got a good one here too. So I can go to that one.
All right. Perfect. So me?
Yeah. It better not be the same guy. I'm going to be upset if it is.
Michael Bush.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You love Bush. So you got... Okay. Give me one of the Rangers then. Get a little bit bolder. Tell me which one's going to win it. Because there's Evan Carter and there's Wyatt Langford for anybody wondering why we're not doing names. But who is going to win it for Texas?
I'm going with... I'm going with Carter. I hate to say it. I love Langford and everything he's about, but ever since you sold me on him, Alex, last year, I mean, bro, he's the only player I watch anymore. I feel like, you know, like his hit tool is so incredible, and with his speed and his power, I mean, this kid is the full Monty. So, although I love Langford and I think he's gonna go nuts, I think holistically Carter's gonna have a better season.
You know, it's really unfair that a team wins the World Series without essentially perhaps their two best players. I know, you know, Corey Seager is their best player for sure, don't get me wrong, and Adolis maybe up there too, but after that, like, these two guys could be the next in terms of war, and they just get to add them. It's kind of,
yeah.
I never remembered a team doing that in the past.
Me either.
So well, that's pretty crazy.
In the NBA, Tim Duncan went to the Spurs, you know, after David Robinson, you know. So I mean, there's that, but I mean that's a different whole other conversation, whole other channel.
Then okay, they're gonna like, you know, Langford or Carter is going to win Rookie of the Year, and they're going to get another pick, and then that person's going to turn into a never-ending cycle. They're going to break this. Okay, I have a Rookie of the Year in the NL. I didn't pick one for the AL because, again, I would, if I was a betting man.
that's going to be the theme today, yeah, folks. The bold prediction.
I would definitely go Langford. But I got Jared Jones winning Rookie of the Year.
Woo, my man. Okay. I like it. Like that one a lot.
He hasn't given up a run in spring training, Jared Jones.
He's a beast. I have a Jared Jones prediction, but that will be for later.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I don't have numbers for you, but the NL Rookie of the Year obviously has a front runner in Jackson Churio. But then I just felt after that, it's kind of a crapshoot. So if Churio just kind of does a 15-15 season, which for a 20-year-old is going to be great. Like, there would be no way that's a failure. But I don't know if it's Rookie of the Year type of stuff. So I feel like the NL is kind of more open as I take a look at this here. With Noelvi Marte also gone for 80 games, right? Where he was the other guy. Maybe Paul Skeens would be one that maybe. He's not up yet. Neither. I don't know if Jared Jones is going to be up or not either, but anyway, that's mine. All right. Very nice. Let's go on to another one. What else you got for me?
All right. Here we go. I'm going to keep it with the Cubs. We're going to stay on the Cubbies channel here. Despite their lack of opening day rotation, seemingly, I mean, they got no pitching. But thanks to the influx of young talent that the Cubs have accumulated over the last few years and with their system, after some key call-ups, i.e. PCA, Matt Shaw, perhaps Cade Horton down the road, the Cubbies are making the playoffs this year on the backs of all those young players and Craig Counsell's leadership.
Yeah, that division's wide open. There is not a front runner. In fact, I would imagine that I would have to go back to our gambling addictions. That, you know, it's cool to have gambling addictions now. The Cubs have to be favored, right? Who else would be favored in that division?
I mean, like you said, it's wide open spaces. So my wild prediction last year was that O'Neill Cruz Jr. would lead him on to being.
I remember that one.
Right. Well, Cruz Jr. is back in a big way, but he's no longer a prospect. So with Michael Bush already, you know, penciled in, they don't know about Canario yet, Alexander Canario. I mean, they're flooded. They're flooded with talent, and they don't have any pitching besides Justin Steele, who's a total stud. May ascend into acedom this year, but I don't care about pitching right now. I think that they'll bring up some guys and they'll get crafty. You know, I mean, if Counsell's not the craftiest little thing you've ever seen, I don't know what is or who is, but yeah. Anyway, Michael Bush, so, Cubs.
Yeah. Oh, Bush. There you go. Yeah, you're on the Cubs train. So the Cardinals are slightly favored in the division. So it's a bit of a bold prediction. The Cubs are second. The Reds are third, who are, you can get them for plus 400 on FanDuel right now to win the division.
Bad.
I like that. I like that.
Not bad. Let's take a little
break. All right, let's see. I have some more. I actually, I have a few NL Central. We want to stay in the NL Central here. Yeah. I have, let's see, I got three we can go with. I'm going to go with the Reds. We were speaking of them. So Blake Dunn is going to be called up and hit 10 home runs and steal 20 bases in the big leagues.
Okay. All right. So not bad.
Blake Dunn is a guy we've talked maybe a little bit on here, but he's an older prospect, a late bloomer, if you will. Hadn't really had a breakout season until last year, where he stole over 40 bags, over 20 home runs. And so I feel like he's just kind of ready for the big leagues. And the outfield for the Reds, little open, especially if, like, let's say a Will Benson can't hit lefties or something like that. Blake Dunn, a righty, can come up. And I think he's MLB ready. And so I just see some at-bats opening up for him. And I've really, really liked what I've seen with him in 2023. So Blake Dunn, get him.
Yeah, he's going to be there. He's going to be available. Okay, you going to continue with your NL Cent? Or shall I?
I could, but I like to do every other one. So if you have if you have more NL Central, go for it. Or more Cubs, go for it. But it's go whatever your soul takes you.
Oh. I do have another NL Central, so we'll stick there. Jared Jones, the aforementioned Rookie of the Year, Alex Sanchez has predicted. Jared Jones makes the opening day roster and begins 2024 with a sub-2 ERA, a .99 WHIP, and ends with 30 plus Ks for the month of April.
Oh.
So it comes out scorching hot.
So he cools down a little bit, is what you're saying? Because that's a heck of a month. If he keeps that up for the whole year, that'd be insane.
Well, I can't imagine that he would keep that up for the rest of the year. No, but I think he does come out on fire, because the thing with Jones is his consistency hasn't always been like the best, but I think he made it over a hump last year. But you know, last year he wasn't in Major League Baseball. So there's always going to be adjustments to be had. And yeah, you're right. Those numbers are crazy. However, I think he comes out of the spring real hot, and that's what he ends with for the first month, which is, I mean, God, can you imagine how happy the Pirates would be with that? Mm-hmm. I mean, I know I would be elated. I will be elated because I own Jared Jones in every league I play in. So, yeah, I don't think that he'll tail off like and not get it back or anything. I mean, he'll make adjustments. But if you want, do you want a line for the 2024 season, or shall I just leave us with the first month?
Well, I'm interested to see what you think the rookie of the year would be.
That's true. Okay.
Give me K's and ERA. That's what I'm interested
in. All right. Yeah. Sub 3.25 ERA. And 220 strikeouts.
Whoa. Okay. that would be quite a debut for Jared Jones. He's a little strange. I was watching him, a little shorter, you know, 6'1", 190, but the ball explodes out. Athletic pitcher. Very very impressive stuff. Which, I guess I could stay on the Pirates and go to my next one, because he's not even the best Pirates pitching prospect. Let's be honest.
He's here. Okay.
Yeah. Paul Skeens. Paul Skeens is going to do this. He's going to do Steven Strasburg. What Strasburg did when he came up. You remember that debut? We were talking to Grant Polson about that debut. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That was such a fun debut. But that season that Strasburg had too in, I'm just getting the year out, 2010, this is what I think Paul Skeens is going to do. I think it's going to be almost like copy and paste these numbers, okay? So he's going to start in the minors. I would assume, let's say, 6 to 7 starts. That's kind of what I'm thinking. To 7 starts. That puts us at, late May, something like that. So he's in for June, July, August, September. Here we go. Here's Strasburg's line in 2010. 12 starts, 68 innings, 92 strikeouts, and 68 innings. And 2.91 ERA. That's what Paul Skeens is going to do for you.
Wow.
That's my prediction.
Wow. That's good. That's a great prediction. I love that prediction, as a matter of fact. Let me hit you with my prediction, just so you know where I stand on Skeens, and then we can discuss. But this is what I'll say about yours, is that I love that prediction, because the obvious comp is Strasburg, but I think the Pirates organization is thinking exactly the same thing. We just do exactly what they did with Strasburg. I mean, it went well for him. Why won't it go well for Skeens? You know, their stuff is almost, I mean, as far as Strasburg's era v. Skeens's era, it's almost, it's like a one-to-one copy. So why wouldn't he come out and put out the same exact numbers? Anyway, but I took a more morose negative tone on Paul Skeens, not talent wise. Believe you me, I love this kid. But my prediction, 2024 futures focus bold predictions episode. My prediction is that Paul Skeens, unfortunately, dun dun dun, becomes a gambling fiend. Just kidding. But he will need Tommy John.
Oh, ouch. Well, Strasburg needed Tommy John in 2011.
Yeah, after see? He came so up, now, you know, that's, yeah, okay. Well, we're going to be rolling the dice.
Yeah, I would hate that. I mean, he throws so
terrible,
hard.
Terrible. Yeah. Terrible for baseball.
Terrible for baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's I need to take a break after that. That was disheartening. I thought we were going to be only positive old predictions here, and you took it to a dark place. So let's take a break. We'll come back and let's try to get back on to the positive vibes. Good vibes only. It's never, you know, spring break here. We gotta lighten it up. So Futures Focus, we'll be right back after this.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
And we are back. Futures Focus here with you. My name is Alex Sanchez, Nate Eckert, and we are trying to get some bold predictions out to you. Let's go ahead and move on. You left off with a kind of a dark place, but we're going to go to some positive vibes, and I'm going to go ahead and start out with Brian Ramos for the Chicago White Sox. We'll move over to the AL Central here now. Brian Ramos is going to hit 20 big league home runs. We've talked about the White Sox and a lot of openings. I think Brian Ramos gets slept on a lot in terms of dynasty and prospect rankings. Just has been really, really good. A good defender. He is kind of like Ke'Bryan Hayes in a way with, you know, maybe 20 home runs is a little ambitious, but I, you know, Ke'Bryan Hayes is really starting to hit the ball hard now. And so I like the comp there. So Brian Ramos, 20 home runs for the White Sox. Don't know what the average would be, but I'm pretty happy with getting him for cheap in a lot of leagues.
Mm-hmm, for sure. I like it. Okay. Let's see here. Yeah, let's keep it positive. Brady House.
Oh.
Shortstop, Washington Nationals organization, comes out and mashes so well, so hard, obliterates the ball so undoubtedly that he goes on to make his debut. It's going to be a cup of coffee where he continues to excel. But what I'm getting at here is that because of his 2024, Brady House will begin 2025 as the number one prospect in all of baseball, folks.
Whoa. Very nice. I actually had a Brady House 1-2. I think you took it next level with the number one prospect, but I suppose he could be in mine where I said he hits 30 home runs in the minors and then gets his debut as well. Cup of coffee. We both like Brady House a lot. We need the power, though. I'm still sort of Jackson Maryland, this guy waiting for some power that we all know is there. Like, I know for sure it's there. I don't know for sure in Jackson Merrill, but if it was, he'd be like a top five prospect. But with House, I know it's there. I agree with you a lot on that one. We definitely had a similar outlook to him. Excited for him.
Yeah, big time. And I think this year is the year that the power does come.
Yeah, I hope so too. I've definitely been there. That was his calling card. Okay, let's. I have a couple of Orioles ones here, so let me get these Oriole ones out of the way. So with both of these guys getting sent down, I have Coby Mayo and Jackson Holliday, and my prediction is Coby Mayo will have more home runs, runs, and RBIs combined than Jackson Holliday in 2024.
Oh, wow. That is a bold one. I like it, though. I like it a lot.
Yeah. I think that, you know, Jackson Holliday is I almost put war. Like, I have it scratched out. because I think Holiday probably could actually pretty easily do that. But when we just talk about the, you know, the counting stats, homers, Mayo's going to hit more homers. I think that's not crazy. So that might mean more RBIs, and then it's just the runs thing. So that was, that's where I was going with it.
Yeah, I like it. Both high on Mayo, for sure.
Yeah, I love Mayo.
Okay. Oh, here we are. So we were speaking about the National League Rookie of the Year and how it's kind of wide open. You took Jared Jones. I took Michael Bush. Here's another candidate, Kyle Harrison. My bold prediction is that Kyle Harrison wins 15 games for the San Francisco Giants this year.
That's a lot of games. That's a lot of games.
Well, he plays in a cavernous, terrible, little dredgy part of the world, otherwise known as that San Francisco Bay, where it's colder in July, right off of that water, than it is here, you know, in February. And it's about, you know, the dimensions are what, 425 down the line, to 560 in center field, to, you know, 600 feet in Triples Alley, back to 420 on the other side of the field. So, I think he's got that going for him and he's really dominant. So cold weather ball is not easy to hit. Believe you me, folks, I grew up in Seattle.
Before we get any Giants fans, I don't share those sentiments with Nate. I think San Francisco is the stadium, at least, is one of the best in all of baseball.
It's Barry beautiful. Bonds hit 70.
He hit 73 home runs, Barry Bonds, there. So it's
Barry Bonds was like one of those avatar things. That year, he was like 10 feet tall and he weighed like 600 pounds.
Yeah, no, but I like Kyle Harrison. I've come around on him a little bit. The control has been improving, and I think that was the big thing I was always worried about. And to see him, he doesn't even have to have perfect control and command, but just to get a little bit under control would be a big, big boost to him. And like you said, the ERA should look pretty nice. The strikeouts should be really nice. And 15 games is a lot. I would assume that means the Giants are going to be pretty darn good if Kyle Harrison's out there winning 15 games. So
yeah,
Dodger fans are worried in all different angles.
Yeah, everywhere. Everywhere we turn.
There was a funny tweet I saw that said, "What if MLB suspends Ohtani without pay for 10 years, he'll still be fine." He doesn't get a dime until.
That's great. That's great.
That was a good one. Anyway, all right. I want to go back to another Orioles one here. Or I guess it's not technically an Orioles one because I'm saying Connor Norby will get traded mid-season, and when he gets traded, the team he's going to be traded to, which I can't predict now, but it will be a team that obviously is not doing great, and we'll plug him into the lineup and he's going to hit 10 home runs in the second half of the season.
Boom. There you go. Connor
Norby
fans. I want him
so bad to get out of Baltimore. He's just never going to get playing time there, I don't think.
Yeah. It's exactly the same thing as Michael Bush in LA. Same exact. Okay. Wonderful. So dun, dun, dun. Let's see here. Oh, I'm trying to decide just how bold to go right now.
I'm getting bolder. I have a few more that are pretty bold. One's very specific. I don't know why I went so specific on one of them.
I'll stick with the ones that I truly like, and then I'll probably end with the boldest. So, this one I like. All right. Bryce Eldridge of the same good old team up north of Los Angeles, the San Francisco Giants, straight out of high school last year, explodes onto the prospect scene this season with 20 minor league home runs before the month of July.
Oh, yeah. I like that one.
Yeah. You see him hit that 110 mile an hour exit velo bomb the other night, or it was like 2 days ago or yesterday.
I get a little nervous with the Giants and their hitter development. We haven't seen a lot of Giants prospects lately come up and do well.
I think Eldridge is a little bit different, though.
I hope so. I think that he is super fun to own in a dynasty league with that power. So
he's got like Spencer Jones written all over him. Yeah, to me, in my opinion.
Yeah. All right. I think I'm getting pretty bold here too. Back to some rookie of the year stuff. I have Tyler Black for the Milwaukee Brewers is going to get some rookie of the year votes. So I was taking a look at the rookie of the year votes last year, and you know, to get there's about six or seven players in each league, and they were, you know, they all performed really well. I think teams are really trying to get these guys up now. So I think it's saying something that Tyler Black is going to kind of come up and do well for the Milwaukee Brewers. The only way, you know, the only thing sort of in his way right now is Joey Ortiz and Montazari. What's the other guy's name there? I'll look it up.
You're onto it. It's something like that.
Yeah, it's Andrew Monasterio.
There it is.
Well, oh, you know what they did too? I forgot. Actually, this works. Sal Frelick is starting at third base against righties now for them, which is pretty insane. Hmm. We haven't really talked about that.
Interesting.
Yeah. So never played a professional inning on the dirt, and now he's starting there. So this maybe assuming that doesn't work out too well, and Tyler Black, who is definitely one of, you know, once Chirio graduates, he is the third baseman, will be the number one Brewers prospect. Fantastic year last year. We have not talked about Tyler Black enough.
No, we haven't.
Yeah. 56 stolen bases, no, 53 stolen bases last year, and 18 home runs, hitting close to 300. So in Double A, Triple A, is a 22-year-old. This guy's pretty darn good. And Joey Ortiz, as much as I love, and Andrew Monasterio, whatever his
name is. Nastrini.
Yeah, not getting in the way here of Tyler Black. So I really like that one now that I didn't even remember that Sal Frelick was playing third base. So that works out for me.
That's wild. Okay, good. I like Tyler Black too, a lot. I think he's going to be really solid, and he has a lot of upside. Okay. This one's a fun one. Xavier Isaac, first baseman out of the Tampa Bay Rays organization. Big fella. Hits well enough to make the Rays roster expansion all the way out in September, thus propelling himself into the top 10 prospects overall in 2025. Xavier Isaac's first baseman in the top 10 at the start of next year.
Yeah. I'm not into first base prospects, but I have to make an exception for Xavier Isaac. I think he is somebody that I would maybe invest in. I've been kind of hit below the belt on some of these first base prospects like Torkelson and Manzardo that I'm getting a little hesitant, but I do like, I still come back to Xavier Isaac and hoping for like a Pete Alonso type of output. I have a Rays one as well that's kind of similar to that, in that Xavier Isaac, very, very young. What is he, 19 still? And that, you know, him making his debut would be a big win. But there's another guy I like. He is not a first baseman. He is an infielder, and it's Carson Williams. The more I look at Carson Williams, the more I'm seeing Bobby Witt Jr. The Rays just churn these guys out, and 23 homers, 17 stolen bases last year. Good defender, just everything you want in a big league shortstop. blossoming everything before our eyes. So I have him coming up to the big leagues, maybe doing kind of what you said, but with Xavier Isaac and becoming a top 10 prospect for me. I like this guy. I got to get more shares of him.
Do you remember who you traded him to me for last year? I can't remember who I gave you for Carson Williams. Do you remember?
Yeah, see, I didn't like him. I didn't know about him enough. I just knew the name and you know, the basics about him. But now I've really like studied him and I love what he did. So whatever it is, I'm probably going to regret it. I can look it up here. Go ahead and give me yours and I'll look it up.
Alrighty. That sounds like a solid plan. Oh, by the way, I just looked it up. Maybe you were looking at one level, but Williams last year, 257 average, 356 on base, 497 slug, 853 OPS in 115 games, 435 at bats, 76 runs scored, 21 doubles, 7 triples, 23 home runs, 81 RBIs, and 20 steals.
Yeah, I did his. That's his double A numbers. He had
double A. That's what I figured.
He had 6 games up there. So I rounded. I did rounding error.
Okay. Let's see here. Oh, this is a fun one, everybody. And one I think I'm gonna hit out of the park. But Cole Emerson, shortstop, just taken in the 2023 MLB draft for the Seattle Mariners in the first round. Stud. Ends 2024 as the offensive player of the year for the M's system. In his very first year of pro ball.
Yeah, they got a lot of good young prospects. They're ways away, kind of in the Emerson, Cole Young, Ty Pete. But they're one or two of them have got to hit and just become the next great thing. So that's definitely would be my choice. I like Colt Emerson a lot. Still haven't looked it up yet. I'm still trying, but I do have one that I could go to next here. So let's see here. We got the Rays. Here's another guy. If we're going to stay with recently drafted prospects, I have Rockies outfielder, catcher, shortstop, infielder, all the positions, really. Cole Kerrig is going to hit 20 home runs and steal 40 bases in the minors this year for the Colorado Rockies organization.
You love Kerrig. You love him, don't you?
He's so intriguing to me. So let's get on it. Come on, Cole. You got this.
Was he a high school or college guy? You remember?
He was. He must be a it was switch hitter too, by the way. I am a sucker for switch hitters. He is. Where was he from? Oh, this doesn't tell me. Nobody knows.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, my mic. Okay. Thanks, website. Didn't have it. That looks like San Diego State hat. Yep.
Nice.
San Diego
State. Nice.
So college player, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, close, yeah.
Okay. So, my turn?
Yeah. Why not?
Right? Because you just did Kerrig.
You do it. You do you.
Yeah. All right. All right. Brooks Lee, shortstop, aforementioned, for the Twins, goes bananas and cracks the Twins MLB roster before the All-Star break.
Brooks Lee, I really do enjoy watching him play. He's a really just ball player type of guy.
Oh, yeah.
Great pick.
Stud.
Where is he going to – how is he going to enter the lineup is my question.
I think Correa is going to go down with an early injury or something.
Oh, wow. Jeez. It's so dark, Nate.
Oh, I get darker. Believe you me.
I know you don't like Correa. very much, but
no, I do not. Not at all.
All right, let's see here. I got a few more left. Let's go to a Braves one. I haven't done a Braves one yet. So, you know how I did the Paul Skeens is going to be a Strasburg. I have Hurston Waldrip is going to do a Spencer Strider impersonation. And, you know, I looked up Spencer Strider's. Well, so his Strider was he came up in 2021 for just two games. That doesn't matter. 2022, he started as a reliever, which is what I'm saying Waldrip's going to do. He's going to come up as a reliever for a handful of appearances. Then he's going to be thrust into the starting rotation like Strider was. But Strider struck out 202 batters in 131 innings in 2022.
Oh, wow.
267 ERA. So he's not going to do that. So let's cut those, let's cut those Ks by, you know, 30%, 40%. Give him 150 Ks, something like that. But everything else is going to be pretty close.
That is wild. 130 something, and he had 205 something.
In his rookie year.
Yeah.
267 ERA and a 0.99 whip.
Ugh. God, that's so dirty. Shoving. Okay. Let's see here. All right. Because we've been talking about the darkness, I'm just going to get it over the way. I'm just going to get it out of the way, over the hill, and I'm just going to say it. And rip off that bandage. Everybody ready? Jackson Churio. Struggles initially upon coming to Major League Baseball. The endless comps to Ronald Acuña seem a bit far-fetched. And because of his struggles, will eventually... get sent down back to the minors.
Gasper is not going to like what you're saying at all.
No, Gasper may send me something in my mail like that has some sort of explosive.
You know? Yeah.
I
could wrap my head around a lot of yours, but I can't wrap my head around that one. That one I'll have to. I don't know how. I don't see him struggling. Here's what. I don't see him struggling enough to get sent down. I think he's gonna maybe, you know, people are 30-30 expectations and stuff like that. Yeah, for sure. But what he's gonna do as a 20-year-old this year is gonna be pretty darn amazing. And then we're gonna see some crazy stuff. 21, 22,
You don't think that he could have just a terrible slump for like a month and the Brewers say, you know what, kid, go back down. Just take a couple of weeks to get your swing right and come back up. You're only 20, you know. You don't have to do it all right now.
If the Brewers had any offense, then I was, you know, they had the luxury of sending him down. I just don't, they need him so badly that they're just going to go through it. Like Volpe, you know, Volpe got to the point where like, he probably could have been sent down, but there just wasn't anything else for the Yankees, you know? But you know what? I don't have to agree with everything you say. I don't like that one. I love Churio. He's going to be amazing. Okay.
Yep. That's okay.
And you could disagree with mine. I have one here for you. You can disagree. This is my very specific one. Okay. All right. Going back to the Rays. I bet you're not going to guess who I'm going back to, though. This is a 26-year-old.
Oh, God.
26-year-old Austin Shenton.
Now. Oh, yeah. I like Shenton a lot.
Okay, good. There you go. So Shenton last year, for those of you who are like, who the heck is this guy? He's a 26-year-old who spent most of the year. He went to Double A for half the year. The other year was, half the year was in Triple A. So almost split evenly, hit 29 homers and hit over 300. So This is a guy that is going to make the big leagues at some point this year for the Rays. And he's going to come up and just go ballistic in the first couple of weeks, like your Jared Jones prediction. And he's going to hit he's going to all culminate with a walk-off grand slam in his first week.
That is very, very specific. Almost yes. Nostradamus-like there, Alex.
Yes. So Austin Shenton, and as soon as he gets the call up, you're going to want to pick him up for that week. It's going to be, he's going to hit over 500. He's going to have a walk-off grand slam. And in, ooh, I don't know how the rest of his career goes, but he's going to come up.
Booyah. Just to piggyback on that, our friends over at the Tool Shed, Chris Clegg, he posted a video of Shenton hitting in the the minors camp after you get reassigned. You're still in Arizona, but I'm sure people have seen it. There's lots of different videos out there of the players who don't make the team outright. So they get sent to the, there's a lot of fields in the Arizona complex. and then they play against the other guys who don't make the majors. So anyway, he posted a video of Shenton, and man, the kid, his wrists, and I'm still calling him a kid because he is. I don't care what anybody says. 26 is 26. You know what I mean? Like, 20. Right? Oh, God, I'd literally do anything right now, yes. This second, to go back and be 26 all over again. You kidding me? Oh, anyway, but 40 is great too, everyone. anyway, back to baseball. Shenton has hands that look so strong. Like, you could just see it in his wrists. Like, almost all of his his approach, his load, and right before he starts his swing, right as he's getting ready to start his swing, looks exactly like Robinson Cano did back in the day. And just seeing that one clip reminded me just how good his hands are. And when you have hands like that, like, you could get fooled on so many different pitches, but still slap them away, and that's going to help your on-base percentage. And, you know, baseball is nothing but hand-eye coordination, obviously. And when you have those types of strong hands, like Cano did also, I'm not predicting that he'll have any type of career close to Robinson Cano. However, I am definitely comparing his swing. You guys should check that out. It's on Twitter. Go to Chris Clegg's page. He has it. It's right there. Anybody can get on there and take a look. And if I'm wrong, find me on Twitter at GQ82. I'm sorry, GQ __82, and holler at me. But I don't think I'm wrong. In fact, I know I'm not wrong. I mean, I know I'm. Yeah, no, I'm not wrong. So anyway, is it my turn or is it yours? No, you just did Shenton.
Yeah, I just did Shenton.
Okay. Let's stick in the AL East. Spencer Jones hits 20 plus home runs this year with the Yankees.
Whoa. I love it. I mean, he's still got a ways to go. Like, he's not a finished product, but man, he is so fantasy friendly. You gotta invest in those guys. I've said that over and over. You have to invest in those guys, even if there's risk. And I think there's a lot of risk for Spencer Jones, but man, his ceiling is so high.
What you got?
I have a few more. Let's do let's try one more each. Two more each.
Yeah, two more each.
Yeah, two more each. I also have the trade finally pulled up here. Which, I'd probably still do this, to be honest. So let's just hear it. You got Gleyber Torres, Carson Williams, and Frank Mazzucato. Pretty good.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah. And I got Mason Miller, who I love.
Mm-hmm.
And I also got Anthony Volpe. So.
Yeah, that's not bad, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but I don't know if there's a big loser there. I don't even know which side's better. I think I like Volpe and Miller, but Miller could fall apart.
Mine's better. But it's a great trade, though, for both sides. Great trade.
All right. I got two more here, and I'll do one, you do one, and we'll go back to it. Then I have kind of a bonus one at the end I have to do as well. So here's one where, you know, we're a dynasty podcast, meaning you got to get saves, right? Saves are extremely important. And they're often difficult to get as prospects. But I have a guy here for you. And he's back to our favorite team, the White Sox. Because do you know who the closer is for the White Sox right now?
Is it Joaquin Soria?
Joaquin Soria. right now, there is no closer, I guess, is kind of the way to do it. You have, Michael Kopech, Tim Hill, Steven Wilson, Brian Shaw.
Yuck. Like,
That's it. So here's a guy that they got from the Brewers, Prelander Baroa, and throws absolute gas.
From the Mariners.
The Mariners. Right? I'm sorry, you're right. The Mariners, not the Brewers. The Mariners, and throws absolute gas, doesn't know where it's going, but 2023, 101 strikeouts in 65 innings, 2.76 ERA, and came up last year and struck out three batters in an inning and a third for the major league team. So this guy, he got optioned to AAA already, but I can see him coming up and leading the White Sox in saves.
Yeah. That's a great call, actually. I don't even know how bold that is. I just think it's a great prediction.
Yeah, we got to do saves at some point for these guys.
You have to. Okay. Good one, Alex. Very good. Solid. All right. Let's see here. Which one should I save for last? In my notes, I have lastly, but then I ended up doing another one. So, okay, I'll just stick with the lastly, which is not lastly because I still have another one. Austin Wells, catcher, who has all but guaranteed himself, or maybe he has guaranteed himself a major league roster spot out of spring training. It's one or the other, folks. Either he's already made it or he's, an inch away. Catcher, he's been in the system for a while, since 2020. I believe he was their first rounder in 2020 at the bottom end of the first round. I've always liked Austin Wells. I've always liked his hit tool. I loved his power. I just never thought, I didn't know if he could stick it catcher. But with the Yanks, it doesn't really matter so much. It's kind of just like, we'll throw him in the DH spot or wherever he's really could put him and just let him. He's a lefty, right? So just let him fly out. Hit homers into right field for the rest of the year. And that's exactly what I think he'll do. And he'll hit 30 plus bombs this year with the Yankees.
Whoa.
And
that's
rookie of the year, but they're going to all be short porch, but he's not one of those, pop fly type. He's not like latter day. Rizzo. Respect me. It's not Anthony Rizzo. He hits the ball really hard. But I can't help but think that short porch is going to give him 15 home runs that he doesn't quite deserve. And I think he could hit at least 15, 20 with any team. So that just leaves me to believe that he's going to have 30 plus with the Yanks this year.
Dark horse. That's a dark horse Yankees rookie doing that. That's a dark horse rookie of the year for sure. All right. I got one here. Now, when I'm looking over sort of the rotation for this team, it is pretty bold, even though it might not sound bold off of the start. But Cade Povich for the Baltimore Orioles will be third on the team in wins.
This year?
Yes, this year, Cade Povich.
Wow. That's bold, folks.
Yeah. So, you know, the Orioles, they got Corbin Burns now. They got, you know, Grayson Rodriguez. They also have an injured Kyle Bradish. But then after that, it's just kind of, you know, guys that have been around, you know, those guys, Dean Kramer and John Means and
Means.
Like that. Wells. So why not Cade Povich? You know, Povich is interesting in that he's not ranked high on lists because the ERAs have not been sightly in the minor leagues. But if you don't worry about that and you think, okay, there's, you know, automated umps and tacked balls and whatnot and untacked balls and you move up and you just look at the strikeouts, man, this guy struck out 118 in 81 innings in Double A and 53 in 45 in Triple A. So 23-year-old, bring him up, get a lot of wins, be the third guy, playoff ready for the Orioles.
Nice. Okay. Bold, and I like it. All right. Last but certainly not least on my list, Ricky Tiedemann, one of my all-time favorites. Big Ricky T comes out in 2024, pitches so well that he leads the Jays, the Blue Jays, in the AL East back to the playoffs. Now, I'm not saying he wins the AL East, but I'm saying he gets back. He gets them back, of course, with Bo and Vladito and the rest of them. He gets them back into the playoffs, into relativity, and he propels them in. Oh, and that, in doing that, will propel Ricky Tiedemann into his eventual ascension into 2025 acedom.
So there's a bit of news here on Tiedemann. He is in the mix to make the opening day roster and get a start in the first series of the season. So if he's in there right away with Gausman, you know, Gausman, and maybe Manoa can figure out how to do some things again. It's not the Blue Jays aren't far away.
No.
All right. I love it. Okay. We'll have to check back with these bold predictions and see. You know what I actually forgot to do was listen to our old bold predictions. So I'll go ahead and listen to that one. I got a road trip coming up, so I'll listen to that and see how we did last year.
Jordan Walker killed me last year.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But James Outman saved me.
Yes, we both liked Outman last year.
I do remember.
I do have a bonus one, though. This is for my long, long time followers and friends and listeners. Okay, you ready for this? Austin Beck and or Hudson Head will make their debut finally in the MLB this year. Do you know what team Austin Beck is on?
Is he still a Rocky?
He is not a Rocky. He was injured last year. He's blossomed into this defensive outfielder that's really, really good defensively. But the Dodgers signed him.
Ha! No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, you can tell how far off my radar he was.
And then Hudson Head still with the Pirates. Both had injuries last year. But I still believe in them. Austin Beck, I'll tell you. So.
Okay, well, I'll keep an eye out for Austin Beck, and that's a good prediction because the Dodgers are known for that type of thing, taking those wounded ducks and turning them into swans.
I've never seen bat speed the way that Austin Beck did as a high school hitter. It was
like
a revelation for me. The only other guy that looked that good as a high school hitter was Blaze Jordan, like. Because I remember when I'm 16, 17 years old, and then I saw, you know, Austin Beck, and I saw Hudson, or not Hudson, Head, we'll get to him in a second, but Austin Beck and Blaze Jordan, they just looked like they were already 20-year-olds.
Right.
So, come on, guys, you can do it. On Hudson Head, everybody knows my affinity for Hudson Head. He's going to do it. He's going to make the big leagues one day. I'll be so happy when he does. I might have to go to the game.
It's going to be a holiday for you from here on out. Hudson Head, Alex Sanchez Day.
Come on. He can do it. All right. So baseball right around the corner. We got the preview. You know, Ohtani suspension looms large.
Get out of here. Get out of here. Suspension.
We'll go ahead and we'll probably get one out. Another episode right as the season starts. So we'll go over a couple other things that we learned about. And then it's off and running to the grind that is minor league and major league baseball. But it is the best time of year. The weather is warming up. Everything seems a little bit brighter. And all is good in the world. Right, Nate?
Indeed, my friend.
All right. Futures Focus here. My name is Alex Sanchez, Nate Eckert, the other guy over there. Appreciate you listening. Give us a review, 5 stars if you could. And
please and thank you.
Yeah, we'll talk again soon. Futures Focus. Yep. We're out.